All right, hey everybody. This is Brent here with Razzball, and today we're here to do our podcast for our draft prep. The draft is coming up Thursday night, and we have a couple of in-house experts here to give you their opinion on where the top picks are going to land, potentially any draft day trade rumors, and some extra information. So here I have with me Craig. Hey, Craig.
Yeah, going well. How you doing, Brent? Yeah, going well. Just obviously really excited about the draft, naturally. Can't wait. At the moment, I seem to be literally dreaming about baseball, dreaming about basketball, just in anticipation for this draft. So, yeah, really excited.
Absolutely. Something's got to take away the excitement of the World Cup, right? And we're also here with Brett. So hope we don't get too confused. That's Brent and Brett. But, Brett, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys?
Good. All right, so we're excited to get to this draft information. It's one of my favorite times of the year as a big NBA fan, especially for people whose teams maybe didn't play so well last season. This is a time to finally get excited for the future, and then also see if there could be some surprise trades on draft day. You know, there's been a lot of teams like Boston who've made a lot of noise on draft day, the 76ers. So we'll get into if we think that's going to happen again this year. So Craig, why don't you kick us off with, maybe we'll go through who we think is going to be picked, with each pick, or do you want to start with the trade rumors?
Well, the trade rumors, I mean, a lot at the moment, I think there's quite a lot of smoke screening going on as, there usually is. Obviously there's some teams that are desperate to move up. I mean, there seems to be lots of rumors about, the Clippers wanting to do something with their two lottery picks to move up in the draft. Seems like they're quite desperate to nab a star one way or another, whether that's Kawhi Leonard or whether it's through this draft. I mean, one thing I've heard is they wanted to try and move up and potentially grab Luka Doncic. But it seems to be really difficult at the moment. Lots of teams seem to be jostling for those picks towards the top at the moment. So there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of movement. Something I saw earlier today was Chicago Bulls are desperately trying to move up into the 3 or 4 spot in order to ensure that they get Michael Porter Jr. I think it's pretty much a given that Denver are going to trade away their 14th pick in trying to get rid of Kenneth Faried's contract. And I don't think they're going to have too many difficulties trying to get a taker there, because you get a team like Atlanta or Sacramento who have got the cap room to do it. It's got to be worth them taking on, the 14th pick in this particular draft, I think, to take that chance. So there are rumours going about. Obviously, Philadelphia's in the mix there as well with the rumours, but I think they've probably got their eyes more on the free agency side of things and trying to lure a big name there using their pick rather than potentially moving up as such. Boston, we've had really, really interested in Mo Bamba, it seems. Seems there were some talks with Dallas. I heard that they were willing to offer, is it the 28th or 27th pick that they've got? 27th, I think, along with, I think it was Jaylen Brown that was on the table, but Dallas sort of countered wanting Jason Tatum. So, yeah, there's lots of movement in the trade scenes, it seems, but it's obviously it's never that easy of a formality in order to be able to get a trade done. So, anybody else heard anything different?
Yeah, I think a big one is Memphis dangling that number 4 pick with Chandler Parsons' contract, possibly. That could be a huge one if someone is willing to pony up for that. It could kind of swing the whole draft.
Yeah, that was something I heard as well. And I think it was potentially the Clippers being maybe a match there as well. I mean, how many more, is it 2 more years, I think, Parsons under contract, isn't he?
Yeah, 2 years for like $50 million or something ludicrous like that.
And if they do that, I mean, Memphis clearly think that they're still the team that they were, a couple of years ago. It probably bodes well for Mike Conley's health, I would have thought.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense for Memphis, in my opinion, but I've seen dumber stuff on draft night.
Do you think that there's potentially the movement, though, that if they can get rid of that that contract, even if they, say, lose Parsons' contract, maybe get a pick lower down in the draft, and then it gives them the potential to be a lot more aggressive in free agency, because obviously everyone's putting together their packages for for LeBron and Paul George, or potentially trade packages for Kawhi Leonard. Maybe I think there could be a bit of flexibility there for them to sort of maybe, you know, cherry pick a few of the cheaper guys, you know, through free agency. But
yeah, could be. Memphis is a tough sell, though. I mean, they don't really have a whole lot going on, especially if they don't have a lottery pick.
And they've just rehired J.B. Bickerstaff as well, haven't they? Given him the full-time gig, which I think is going to be a tough sell for, you know, some of the bigger name players out there.
Yeah, agreed.
Brent, how about you? Have you had anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest one that I'm curious about is what might happen with Kawhi Leonard. If anybody's going to tempt the Spurs, if the Lakers are going to make a big offer. I've heard some rumors about Philadelphia. Maybe trading like Covington, Saric, and the number 10 pick for Kawhi Leonard. I feel like if the Lakers are going to make a trade, they'd probably want to try to stuff Luol Deng in there, but they might have to give up Ball and Ingram to get Leonard back.
I've heard San Antonio are not particularly interested in Lonzo Ball either, which would make a lot of sense. One, given their system, the style of play, and two, the fact that, you know, Dejounte Murray is the guy there at the moment, isn't it? The guy for the future for his defense.
Yep.
You think Pop wants anything to do with LeVar Ball?
I don't know. I want to see that happen.
That would be worth it just for that.
It'd be worth LeBron going to LA as well, though, wouldn't it? Just to see sort of LeBron and LeVar sort of in the same facility. But no, going back there just for a second, it's just a weird one, isn't it, with San Antonio? Because, you know, this just never happens in San Antonio. And I saw odds the other day of Kawhi's, you know, next or landing spot. And I think Boston were the favourites, you know, real heavy favourites, or something like 2-1 or something. So, you know, it's no secret they've probably got the best pieces in order to sort of tempt, you know, a good package away. But that could involve future draft picks. But I think they've got the young talent now to sort of at least get San Antonio, you know, mildly interested.
Agreed. I also think in regards to the Memphis thing, I think, you know, if Connelly is healthy and Gasol is motivated, you know, if you can keep that pick and add, you know, I mean, there's a lot of talent at the top of this draft. I mean, you're looking at a potential three superstar rotation there in Memphis. I mean, I know it didn't go so well last year, but they have some great young, exciting kind of players. They'd be a pretty deep team. You know, just adding another one of the top talents in this draft could be huge for them. Since Craig's right, Memphis is not like a prime landing spot for a lot of free agents.
No, it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with the exciting young talent. I think they've got young players who can fit specific roles really well. I don't think, you know, guys like Dylan Brooks, for example, you know, I think they're going to be good rotational pieces, or they are good rotational pieces. I don't necessarily see them as, you know, exciting young talent that's going to, you know, take them, you know, back towards where they were in a very good team. But should we move on to the draft now?
Sure, let's do it. Brett, you want to kick us off with who you think might go number one?
Yeah, I mean, everything I see, all signs point to Phoenix going with Ayton at number one. I don't think he's even worked out for anybody else. He's a freak athlete, freak size. The whole fan base wants him from everything I see. He's, you know, went to school in Arizona. It just makes all the sense in the world that Phoenix is going to take him number one and just run with it.
Craig?
Do you have any doubts there at all? Do you think that, I think we've all seen the same thing, and I think most people listening will have seen the same thing, that, you know, this is the guy they're going to take. But do you think there's any element of smoke screening here at all? Or do you think that, you know, this is the guy that's going to sell the tickets, this is the guy the fans want, and this is ultimately who the club wants? Because, you know, for me, I everything pointed towards Luka for me. When they hired Igor, I thought that, you know, this is the guy that, you know, coached Doncic and Dragic to, you know, the EuroLeague, the EuroBasket title. And I think that, you know, Igor's going to be in the ear a bit about, look, you know, look what I can do with this kid. This could be the right fit. I think Ayton's the guy. I think he will be the guy. But I don't necessarily think he should be the guy. I mean, I don't disagree. Physical talents are amazing. You know, some of the fundamental basketball skills could be improved. You know, things like his positioning, defensive awareness. You know, he isn't as strong a defender, I don't think, as a lot of people make out. You know, that isn't to say it won't get better. Of course it will. You know, we're talking about a freshman who's a freak athlete. But I do think he's the kind of guy that needs the right coaching staff, you know, the right people around him to really get the, you know, his talents, you know, maximised out. And I'm not sure that's going to be the place in Phoenix. But I agree. I've got Ayton going at number one as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you guys. I don't think there's any smoke screen going on. I mean, it would be really interesting to see Phoenix take Doncic and use him in a sort of as the point guard that they really need. To see how that would work out. But I think Ayton is just too much of a freak to pass on. I mean, if you pass on Ayton and go watch him become the next Joel Embiid or Anthony Davis on another team, I everyone would lose their job. So there's no way he's one of those talents that you can't pass on. So I think it's Ayton all the way. Craig, what do you think about for number two, the Kings?
Well, I think this is a difficult one here. And, you know, Sacramento have done a really good job smoke screening this time around. Last year, we all knew that De'Aaron Fox was going to be the pick for, you know, since forever. And they tend to have a tendency of stating quite early who their guy is. This time round, no one seems to really know. I know that they've had problems getting the guys that they want in for workouts now, partly because DeAndre Ayton's refusing to work out for anyone but Phoenix, and Luka Doncic obviously can't work out because, you know, his schedule in Europe. But I was listening to a Sacramento Insider podcast the other week from a guy who was at the Marvin Bagley workout, and everything seemed to point that they were really, really impressed with Bagley. And, you know, from the lack of who they've wanted to get in there, and the fact that they can't really afford to take a risk on health on, say, like a Michael Porter Jr., I think that Bagley's the guy. I want Luka Doncic to go here. I really do. You know, I'd love to see Vlad and Doncic in the same place. I think Doncic wants to go here. I just think Sacramento kind of want a bit of money in the bank, and I think that they feel that they're going to get that with Bagley Jr., especially with the noises that probably come out from Doncic's agent, that I don't completely buy, that, you know, Doncic is a bit lukewarm about playing for Sacramento. But I've got Bagley Jr. going here. What about you, Brett?
Yeah, I've got Luka going there. I've seen rumors on both sides, like Luka won't play there or he's already committed to playing there. There's been a lot of smoke about Michael Porter going at number two, and I'd love to see that, but just because then he won't be available later. Then, you know, Bagley definitely in play, but I don't think they could pass on Luka. There's all these social media pics of Vlade with Luka out in Europe, palling around, and it makes a lot of sense. Having him and De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield on their wing, it's actually kind of impressive. So I think that's what they go with.
I think Doncic would be a great fit in Sacramento. I'd love to see, you know, rotation with Bogdanovich and Doncic and these big kind of ball handling, like, you know, just guys who could do it all kind of players on that team. However, I think the not working out and the Kings wanting to go for a sure thing, I think I'm leaning towards Craig's pick of Bagley here. I think Bagley could potentially turn out to look like the number one pick in this draft. I mean, he's got all the skills. I think he's going to be an incredible all-star player in the league. I mean, this draft is low. This is such a fun draft to analyze because there's so many guys that in any other year might be a number one pick. But in this particular year, I mean, the top 10 is just crazy. So I've had so much fun going through this, but I'm going to lean towards Bagley on this one. Although I think, Sacramento should go with Doncic, but so how about the Hawks, Brett? You want to?
Well, I think they take about 2 seconds to run up to the podium, and they take Bagley. you're getting him at three with his talent was just a home run for Atlanta. They've got a point guard already in Schroeder, he's good enough. They took John Collins last year, and him and Bagley could probably play together pretty well. So they go with him.
I think you're right in terms of they can play together. I think Bagley's going to be playing the five in the NBA, I think, and Collins the four. I think that can work.
But so Craig, you think if Bagley's going two in your draft, who do you have?
I've got Trae Young going to Atlanta, possibly a controversial pick. Dennis Schroeder wants out. He's already deleted everything to do with the Hawks on Instagram. I think I saw something earlier that the Hawks are really aggressively trying to trade Dennis Schroeder. And apparently the workout for Trae Young in Atlanta went really, really well. I understand there's a lot of, he seems to be one of these things like Marmite. You guys probably don't know what Marmite is. Do you have Vegemite over there?
Australian like, stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, Marmite here is like, sort of the British equivalent, if you like. So it's one of those things that people either love or they hate. And I think that Trae Young sort of falls into that category.
America, I know that we would call it Spam, I think.
Spam. Right. I'll take your word for that. I'm not sure what that is. But I think he's a fantastic talent. I know that people are concerned about him tailing off at Oklahoma. But like I've said for months now, you're talking about a guy who's playing 40 minutes a game, massive use, 40 minutes, sorry, playing a lot of minutes, with a 40 usage rate. And when you're a freshman and you've got that kind of usage rate, it's going to wear you down. The team wasn't up to much. And there was enough flashes of brilliance on the offense, great vision, great passer, and the shooting is unbelievable. And you got to think that he was double teamed that whole time as well. The defense is in question, and obviously he's only 6'2" and, 180 pounds. Obviously he's been rumored to have put on weight and, bulked up a bit. But I think that, this is the guy that they're going to take there. And I think it's going to surprise a few people on draft night.
That would be really fun to see. I haven't seen many mock drafts that have Trae Young that high. And you can direct all of your angry mail to Storyteller41 and on Twitter. That's Craig's handle for calling Trae Young the spam of the draft. So at pick number three, I everywhere I've seen, and I don't know how this is going to shake out, but I've seen Jaren Jackson Jr. Stuck with the Hawks at number three in almost every mock draft I've been looking at. But I see the intrigue with Jaren Jackson. I think there's too many more sort of, I guess, quote unquote, sure things, especially like a Luka Doncic possibly available at three, or even a Bagley at three, depending what happens at number two. I don't know how you don't go Bagley or Doncic here. Just because I've seen it almost everywhere, I would say don't be surprised to see them take a chance on Jaren Jackson to play alongside Collins in Atlanta. Craig, what about number four, if the Grizzlies keep that pick?
At number four, I've got the Grizzlies going with Michael Porter Jr. I think they've had a very similar problem to Sacramento, that they've really struggled to get guys in for workouts. And they've also had problems trying to get medical reports. I saw something earlier in the week that had Porter Jr. quite strongly linked there. I don't think Porter Jr. wants to go there, but I think that that's fundamentally who they're going to take. Mo Bamba today, I heard, refused to give his medical reports to Memphis. I'm pretty much told them they're probably best off not drafting him. But I think Porter Jr. is the guy that they want. I think Porter Jr., if healthy, is the guy that they need. It's a guy that I like a lot. And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt on his health until I see otherwise in Summer League. If he misses Summer League through injury, then I'm really concerned. But at this point, I think he's a tremendous talent. Another guy, we're talking about a guy who was the number one high school recruit going into the year. Obviously, his season was cut short with the back injury right at the start of the year for Mizzou. But I think that Michael Porter Jr., in terms of fit, just makes too much sense here for me.
You're not concerned? Didn't he cancel some workouts because of injury? I thought I had read
somewhere.
Yeah,
he had a showcase. He had a showcase in Chicago, didn't he? And then he ended up having hip spasms. But I wonder again how much of that was smoke screening that, you know, he didn't want to go to Sacramento. I mean, Sacramento reportedly really interested him as well. And I've got a feeling Porter Jr. doesn't want to go there. And I wonder how much of that was, I know where I'm going already, and I don't want anyone higher than where I want to go to potentially pick me. But who knows? Who knows? You know. But I think Porter Jr. is going to be Memphis' guy here.
Brett, how about you?
I've got him going with Jaren Jackson Jr. He's the best player on the board still. He fills a need with them. He can, I think he could probably play with Gasol, assuming Gasol can play a whole season. I think Porter's injury risk is a little too much for Memphis, considering they lost Conley for the year. Gasol misses 25 games a year, roughly. And the upside that Jaren Jackson has just would be a good fit for them, regardless of if he wants to work out with them for, or not. If not, he's a great trade chip.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can totally see that. Well, I guess I'm still a little bit different than you guys, since I had Ayton, Bagley, Jackson. So I think this is as far as Doncic is going to fall to Memphis. I can see the first three maybe passing just because of, you know, not being able to get the workouts, but I can't see the Grizzlies passing if Doncic somehow falls to number four. I mean, Conley, Gasol, and Doncic, I mean, on paper looks pretty awesome. Especially in a for a city like Memphis. You know, if Luka does, I don't see Luka making it past number four. And since I haven't put him anywhere yet, I'm going to put him here. So Mavericks, number five. Brett?
Well, this is where Michael Porter goes in my mock. The upside that he has there is just is too much to pass up for Dallas. They really need to kind of hit a home run here with Dirk on his last couple legs there, and I think Dallas is a team that Porter would actually want to go to, a city that he'd want to be in, and he'd be a great marketing tool for them too.
Craig?
This is where I've got Luka Doncic going. I think that Dallas want to win, and they want to win now. You know, that's no secret. Harrison Barnes wants to win now as well, but I don't think that's going to factor too much into Cuban's decision. I know that all the talk is a big guy, and again, you know, I debated here whether I thought the Bamba or Doncic would be the pick, but this is where I could see a potential trade happen. I could see Dallas potentially trading down a spot or two here, and garnering a further asset. So that they could target a Mo Bamba type player. That's if Bamba's still there, or one of the other bigs. But I could see Dallas trading down for the, from this pick. But for the sake of this draft, I'm going to at pick five. I've got Luka Doncic going. Just far too good of a player. And when you've got a 6'8" guy like Doncic that has the IQ, the body control. The passing ability and the vision. I'm not worried about the shot. I'm not worried about the athleticism. You know, he's a pick and roll master. When you physically watch this guy play, not just clips, but when you stand there and watch games, this guy knows how to play basketball. He knows how to score, and he's a magician. He finds ways to score. He finds ways to make the team better. Any concerns that other people have about not having the quickness or the explosion or the athleticism. You watch the body control that he has and the IQ, and he creates enough separation from that point of view. So, I have Luka Doncic as my number one ranked prospect, but I think he's going number five in the draft.
Yeah, I think if Doncic is there, the Mavericks, I agree, are probably planning to trade this pick more than likely. But I think if Doncic somehow falls to number five, I think they might reconsider. However, this is, for the sake of the mock draft, since I had Doncic going four, I'll go with Bamba here to go number five. I think Cuban seems to really want a center there, whether he targets DeAndre Jordan or DeMarcus Cousins and trades this pick and does something else with it. But I got to think they might be Mo Bamba is going to be tough to pass on. I mean, I've heard all the stuff I've been reading is that his offense is coming along. And I mean, the wingspan is just freakish. So I've even saw people saying that they think Bamba might be the best player in this draft in certain places. So, yeah, I think Mavericks go with Mo Bamba here. So number six, the Magic. I'll go first here. I feel like I'm getting the last say on everything, so I'll give you guys a chance to get the last say on a couple of these. So with the Magic going number six, this is where I think Trae Young is probably going to go. I've heard a lot of rumors about the Magic liking Trae Young here. I think Trae Young is going to be tough to pass on the top five picks, just because of the comparisons to Curry and the success that the Warriors have had with that type of offense, and there being a potential player coming out of this draft that could run an offense like that. But you know, these other guys with size and skill being ahead of them are going to be too tough to pass on, which is going to make Young fall, in my opinion. So I think the Magic could take Young here. What about you, Craig?
I've got Jaren Jackson Jr. going here. I don't trust the Magic front office as far as I can throw them, and believe me, that really isn't very far at all. I think that Vuk's going to be gone. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be the sort of, you know, the heir in waiting for that throne. They've shown that they're, you know, they're willing to wait. You know, they knew what they were getting into with Jonathan Isaac, so they weren't looking for that instant guy. And I think it's the same here with Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm a really big fan of the player. You know, I only played 21 minutes a game for Michigan State last year. But, you know, he had something ridiculous, like, you know, per 40 minutes, he was like, you know, 5.5 blocks a game. You know, he's got three-point range. The percentages are good. You know, really good all-round player. But he is very young. He's a lot rawer than I think a lot of people think. I think he will take quite a bit of time to really show. But I think that, you know, the Magic really need a point guard. But I don't trust their front office. I think they've got to take the best player available. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is the guy they're going to take.
Brett?
Yeah, I went with Trae Young too there. The Magic need a point guard more than anything. That would make Magic basketball fun to watch. Bring back Aaron Gordon. Just run up and down the court. They're still going to be terrible, but at least they'll be fun to watch. They'll have some pieces to build around. And if Young's there, that's the pick.
All right, so let's see, Bulls at number seven. I'll leave this one off again. This is where I think Porter's going to go there, despite, you know, having to cancel the workout, just because he's definitely the best player left at this point on my draft board. So I can't really put him lower than seven at this point. I mean, obviously he was looking like potential number one pick when he was coming out of high school before the injury. I mean, it'd be a steal for anybody to get this guy below the top five. So I think the Bulls would jump all over that. I mean, and they have quite the core going there with Porter in tow. So that would be pretty exciting Chicago team to watch. Brett, how about you?
I've got him going with Bamba. He's still on my board and arguably the best player available, but he's also probably the best fit. Having a rim protector next to Markkanen is really a key for the Bulls. They need Robin Lopez is okay right now, but he's not the long-term solution. And with the way that Levine and Markkanen play defense, and Markkanen's not that bad, they need somebody that can back them up. I don't think Levine's played defense yet for the Bulls, but yeah, Bamba, with his talents, he could, like you said earlier, he could end up being the number one guy in this draft if he could, you know, hit that potential. Just to make an impact on both ends of the floor. So I'd be pretty happy with that pick. I'm a Bulls fan, so that would be good.
All right, Craig, how about you?
Well, knowing the Bulls front office and how much they suck, I've got LiAngelo Ball. I've got LiAngelo Ball going there.
That was my second choice.
We're still in the first round, Craig. We're still in the first round.
Remember, this is the Bulls we're talking about. Now, I've got Mo Bamba going here as well. Like Brett said, the fit's too good. I'm not as high on Bamba. I mean, I've got a complete open mind. But at this point, I'm not as high on Mo Bamba as most. I don't believe I don't believe in the shot. And, you know, I've seen the videos that everyone else has seen in the workouts, and that, you know how much better the mechanics are and the range is improving. I don't buy it. You know, I think he's going to be a decent, you know, a good, not great rim protector. You know, the motor's really in question. I think he really needs some good coaches to really help him sort of utilize his game to the next level. I don't believe in the offense. I think, boards and blocks are going to be decent. Excellent field goal percentage. But I'm not as high on him as most appear to be. I know that, you know, there's a lot of teams that are really interested. I know there's a lot of hype and a lot of helium with him going on at the moment. But, you know, a lot of these things that come out that we see on Twitter and other things, you know, a lot of it is, you know, marketing, isn't it? And, you know, presenting themselves as the best that they can. And, you know, like a lot of Chinese whispers, it starts to go round and then everyone starts to believe in it. But, you know, I think Mo Bamba, don't get me wrong, I think Mo Bamba could be a fantastic player. I think he's got a long way to go to be that. But I've got Mo Bamba going at 7 here.
So this next pick is a really intriguing pick. Not only are we getting to kind of the part of the draft where anybody can kind of go at this point, but this is the pick the Cavs got from Brooklyn, or, you know, I guess from Boston, from Brooklyn, in the Kyrie trade. So this is sort of what people are going to look at as what they got for Kyrie, in a way. Brett, what do you think Cleveland's going to do with this pick?
Well, I think they just saw that wings are the future. They need more of them, and they really need to hit a home run with this pick. And I've got them taking Kevin Knox out of Kentucky. He isn't a favorite of a lot of people right now, but he has a ton of upside. He's got a good shot. He's got a good athleticism, good pedigree going to Kentucky. And the Cavs are just going to swing for the fences on this one and just hope that he can develop and become, you know, the steal of the draft at 8. He's getting a lot of helium lately in the Twitterverse, so I think they could definitely go this direction.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I agree. Like, I was torn at this pick. I think I was sort of looking at Wendell Carter Jr. I mean, he's a pretty talented big guy that's still available down here. But I don't know. I think maybe I have Mikal Bridges ranked above Knox is here, and I think the Cavaliers would be pretty intrigued by him. As you know, he's not only going to be the what did we get for Kyrie, but this could potentially be, you know, who replaced LeBron when he left the second time. So I don't envy anybody who gets picked in this spot by Cleveland, because I don't think Cleveland's gonna be that great anyway. But I don't know, I think Mikal Bridges might be the pick here for Cleveland. Craig?
I've got Colin Sexton going here. Sort of to follow on from Brett's point about hitting the home run, I think Colin Sexton could be that guy. You know, you're talking about a good kid who's got a real sort of competitive streak in him, you know, really believes in his talents, really believes in himself. I think it's going to take him quite a bit of time to develop. You know, we're talking in terms of sort of career progression, you know, think Malik Monk last year, you know, took the best part of 3/4 of a season to really get the confidence to take contact, really be able to bang with the big boys and really use his athleticism on the offensive end to his advantage, rather than almost at times looking scared. But I think that in terms of sort of going for a home run pick, I think Sexton could be that guy. I think he's got a, you know, really athletic. I mean, to give Steve Connell a shout out, the guy who, you know, does a lot of work for me behind the scenes and has a lot of discussions with me in terms of the research that we do with these prospects. You know, he's been on Colin Sexton for a long, long time. And the videos he got from last year's McDonald's All-American game of Colin Sexton, you know, just in the warm-up, some of the dunks he was doing was unbelievable. You know, this is a future dunk contest participant without any shadow of a doubt. I think, you know, give this guy, you know, a season and a half, we could be looking at a fantastic NBA point guard. I mean, you know, he is only 6'2", you know, he's only 185 pounds. But this is the kind of guy I think that could be a bit one of those do-it-all kind of guys, even with his small size. So, yeah, I'm a big, big fan, and I could see him going 8 here.
So the next pick is the Knicks at number 9. This is where I think Sexton will go. I don't think the Knicks look at Ntilikina as a point guard. I think there's a good possibility the Knicks even maybe trade the pick in Ntilikina to trade up a little bit. It just depends on, I guess, what their thoughts are on him. But I think they do need, an aggressive point guard on that team. So I think Colin Sexton would be the pick here for all the reasons. I think he's a great player, just as Craig said, just from everything I've seen. Craig,
just,
what about you?
Just to pull you up there a second, why do you think the Knicks would trade Ntilikina?
I don't know. I did see some rumors out there, and at first I had that same thought, like, why would you do that? You know, he seemed to show a lot of, towards the end of the season, he seemed to show some development and getting more confident. But the Knicks are one of those franchises and those markets that, you know, want to win right away, and, you know, you can't really put a loser out there for too long. And, they need something exciting to happen there. So, for that reason, I could see them maybe making a move if they don't think Ntilikina is going to come along, you know, a lot this coming season.
I can't disagree. Let me ask you this. I disagree absolutely entirely. I think Ntilikina is such a fantastic basketball player. And I think the Knicks really value what they've got in. Let me ask you this question. Who of these guys is the youngest? DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, Michael Porter Jr., Mo Bamba, Frank Ntilikina.
Well, is that a trick question? And Ntilikina is the youngest still?
he's the youngest. Younger than all of those guys. You think what he was doing, you know, defensively, the potential he showed, he was doing that as a guy that was freshman age. We're not talking about a guy that's ever going to be, you know, a massive offensive force. But you stick him at the two. He can play ball. The defense is definitely there. But he's got a fantastic career ahead of him. I can't see any situation where the Knicks trade him unless they get, you know, some kind of, as part of a package for a superstar, or to move into like number one pick territory. I just can't see it.
Yeah, it would have to be, you know, at least top five, I would think, to have to want to do something like that. Brett, how about you? Where do you think the Knicks might go here?
Best on my board is Wendell Carter, and I think he would fill a need for them. Enes Kanter is not the long-term solution for them. Carter, Porzingis, and I'm going to butcher this, Ntilikina. That's a nice little core. And I think getting Wendell Carter at 9 is a great value for New York, and they can't pass that up.
Craig, what do you think the Knicks are going to grab?
I'm going to go Wendell Carter Jr. is who I've got them taking. I really want them to take Kevin Knox. But I think that Carter Jr. is going to be the guy. I think it's the best player available in terms of an element of safety there. They've got, who knows how long Porzingis is out. So we'll have to see there. But I think Wendell Carter Jr. can offer a lot of things that the Knicks need, you know, a good versatile all-around player. I think he could do a lot of things well, and I think he could really fit into that system really well. I'm quite excited to see what happens in New York this year under the new era. I think there's a lot of the players for once seem to really want to be there and playing for this team under this new regime. So, yeah, I've got Wendell Carter Jr. going here.
All right, the 76ers at number 10. Since I do see Wendell Carter as maybe the best player still on the board, but since I haven't had anybody take Kevin Knox, and the Sixers are in a position, are already a great team, already, you know, obviously a playoff championship level contender, I think they can afford to take a chance on Knox, who I agree, I think he's going to be, has the potential to be one of the steals of this draft, maybe like the Donovan Mitchell type of this draft. So I think the 76ers will take a shot on Knox here. What about you, Craig?
76ers, I've got Mikal Bridges. I've got him lower than this in my own personal rankings, down at 14. But I think in terms of fit, a lot could change here. You know, this is a pick that could be traded. We've all heard the rumors. But in terms of what they need to do to get to the next level, you know, we talk about another, you know, a guy with potential lockdown wing defense. And I think that, you know, Boston proved what the, you know, what you need in the playoffs to really, you know, advance. And I think Mikal Bridges fits that need perfectly for them. You know, they don't need the point guard. You know, maybe you can never have enough bigs with the way that they go down health-wise. But another lockdown, you know, Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz, JJ Redick, they all have their faults on the perimeter. And I think that Bridges could really sort of help complement Robert Covington there. So I think the pick just makes too much sense. You know, Villanova guy, local boy. I think sort of all indications to me, if he's still on the board, points to Philly going there.
How about you, Brett?
Same with me. I've got Mikal Bridges going there. Just like Craig said, it makes too much sense. He's ready to come in and play right away. He can probably crack the rotation day one. They can employ a ton of different lineups with him and Covington and Simmons out there and Embiid. It's just they're going to be a nightmare to defend if they can have all these huge wings that can shoot. And like Mikal Bridges is a good shooter, so the more shooters around Simmons, the better, because he's going to find them.
All right, so how about the hapless Charlotte Hornets, who can never seem to get anything right? Craig, what do you think the Hornets are going to do with the number 11 pick?
What's Michael Jordan going to do with the 11 pick? LiAngelo Ball again?
Is he, still on the board.
Yeah, he still is. I've got Miles Bridges going here. And actually, you know, I want to see the Bulls take Miles Bridges. You know, Brett and I talk about this constantly. But I think that Miles Bridges is the guy that makes too much sense here. Kemba's on his way out. You know, they're desperate to get something of note for him, I think. A new era to begin. You know, does that push Monk into the point guard position? Maybe not. But I just think Miles Bridges has that, you know, two-way potential that really that I think that the Hornets need. I think Bridges has a chance to be a star, and I think that you know, Charlotte really, really need that right now. Easily for me the best player on the board. I've got him seventh in my fantasy ranks, but I think that, you know, if Charlotte don't do anything stupid here, like, I don't know, draft a Josh Okogie or something, I think that Miles Bridges would be the guy.
I'll just jump in really quick just because I still have Wendell Carter Jr. on the board and easily best player left available on my board. So I think the Hornets would grab him. Brett, what do you think?
They can have like 42 big men.
You can never have enough bigs. You said it earlier.
Yeah, I've got him going. I still have Colin Sexton on my board, and it makes too much sense with, like Craig said, Kemba Walker's on his way out. The off and on rumors of them trying to trade him are probably more on than off. And with Sexton still sitting there, it's just the heir apparent just waiting, and makes too much sense.
All right, so number 12 is the Clippers, pick they got from Detroit. I'll just quit. I think they're going to grab Robert Williams from Texas A&M. I think I don't know what's going to happen with Jordan, but you know, I think Williams would be a nice replacement for Jordan for the Clippers. How about you, Brett?
Well, back-to-back picks here, they get to be a little creative. I have him going with Troy Brown out of Oregon. I think he can plug right into their wing rotation. He's a former point guard, ball handling skills. Needs to work on his shot still, but he can play next to Lou Williams pretty nicely. And then it goes along with my next pick, too. So go ahead, Craig.
I've got Kevin Knox going here. Love the fit. You know, the Clippers is going to be an interesting one with who they go with, because obviously they want the star. Are they going to have the picks? Potentially they could be looking at moving one, if not both, of these picks. But I think, you know, Tobias Harris is there already, so similar, but I think they can both coexist because, you know, they both have that positional flexibility. And I think that, you know, when you've got a couple of guys that have got that kind of size, you know, they've both got a good jump shot. You know, the athleticism Knox has got, you know, good size. I think the pick here makes a lot of sense if he's still on the board. It's also important to remember, you know, Knox is still really young compared to, like, Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, they're two of the youngest guys in the draft. know, his season at Kentucky was a bit up and down. You know, I watch a lot of Kentucky basketball. But when you know, watching a lot of video and a lot of film this week, you can see the moments where, you know, Knox has those moments where you think, yeah, this could be a star. You know, people question the, you know, the defensive work ethic, or the, you know, sometimes, or the defensive skill. You know, I see the skill. I don't question the skill at all. And I think sometimes that the work ethic that they talk about is the high pace that Kentucky play. It really takes it out of him at times, I think. And, you know, that was a really young Kentucky team last year as well. There was a lot of, you know, naivety in that team. So, you know, I give him a bit of a pass there. But, you know, Kevin Knox for me, I'm a big, big fan of him myself. But I've got him going to the Clippers at 12.
Yeah, I think they're going to do some combination of big man, guard center, and I think if I had Williams going at 12, I think I like Kentucky basketball as well. That's why I like this next guy. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is what, like 6'6", and I've heard he's had like a 7-foot wingspan or something crazy like that. I mean, he could be an incredible perimeter defender. He can play point guard. He'd be great to pair with Harris, especially if they go with a big man with the 12th pick. You know, this guy, you know, he's a young guy, so could take him a little bit of time to develop. But, you know, he has the natural talent, I think, to become sort of one of those lockdown defender type guys in the league. Brett, who do you think they're going to go with for their second pick?
I'm with you on that one, Brent. I think, you know, like everything you said, he's 6'6 point guard. The way he took over that Kentucky team down the stretch just shows that he, you know, so much talent, such a high ceiling. Put him next to Lou Williams, Tobias Harris, DeAndre Jordan. That's, you know, that's potentially a pretty potent lineup.
For sure. Craig, how about you?
I've got them going Lonnie Walker the fourth. I think that, you know, with pairing up Knox and Lonnie, I think that you've got that, you know, you're shooting for a lot of upside here. I got to hold my hand up and say that, you know, for the first quarter of the season and going into the year, you know, I had huge doubts about Lonnie, and I was, you know, quite unfairly overly critical. You know, it took him a while to get going at Miami. And, you know, he did show a lot of naivety at times. But I think that, you know, the Clippers, you know, they want stars and they want the best chance at stars. And I think that the pairing of Knox and Lonnie Walker gives them that best opportunity for me in terms of the upside. You know, not the biggest shooting guard in the world, you know, 6'5". You know, there's a lot of things that he could do well. You know, I think his defense is a little bit underrated. You know, maybe, you know, he has got tremendously long arms. You know, when he's hot, he does shoot the ball well, but, you know, he does have that tendency. You know, I like his shot mechanics, but he does have that tendency to overshoot at times and try a little bit too much. But, you know, what he really needs to do is, you know, work on a bit of that sort of intensity on the defensive end, look a bit more interested when things aren't going well. And I think that, you know, a guy like Doc Rivers could really get the best out of a guy like Lonnie Walker for me.
All right. I thought we were going to go 3 for 3 there for the first time in this draft. So 14 is the Nuggets. I'll go quickly. The best player left at this point on my board is Miles Bridges. I think the Nuggets would have to take him if he's still available there. And, you know, the Nuggets have a pretty strong team. So I think adding someone like Bridges who can come in and probably play right away, you know, is going to make them even stronger. So, Craig, who do you think is going to go with the Nuggets?
I got Eliakobu. I don't think that they're going to keep this pick. I think this pick is as good as gone. I think someone's going to take on Kenneth Reed's contract and take this pick. But if they do keep the pick, I've got Eliakobu. I mean, anyone who follows me on Twitter will know that I've been a big fan for a very long time. Guy out of France, point guard. Real offensive juggernaut. You know, all of his strength primarily lies in his offensive game. Fantastic in the pick and roll. Really good vision. Almost seen, you know, the game seems so slow to him. especially the back end of the season when he's running the offense. You know, excellent passer of the ball. You know, good from range. There's a lot that I like about this guy, and I think that when all said and done, that he could be the second best point guard in this draft class behind Trae Young for me. But if they keep the pick, I think that they just need, a playmaker in the backcourt as such. You know, Jamal Murray really isn't that guy. Gary Harris, both fantastic players. But if they're going to keep the pick, I think they need somebody who, you know, can have the ball in the hands and really open the floor with their vision as such.
Brett, how about you?
I've also got Miles Bridges here. Top player on the board, most talent left. Line up with Murray, Harris, Bridges, Millsap, Nurkic, or not Nurkic, Jokic. Very tough, and I mean that's just a luxury pick for him at this point if he's still there.
For sure. So the Wizards have pick at 15. Brett, who do you think the Wizards go with here?
Well, John Wall and Bradley Beal are going to take all the shots. Anything left over is going to Otto Porter. So they need a big guy that can run with them. And I got Robert Williams from Texas A&M going there. Not the tallest, but he is going to work. He's going to be active. He's going to be all over the court. He's going to be able to run with those guys. And I think it's a good fit for them.
Yeah, I had this is where I had Lonnie Walker going. They do have a lot of perimeter guys, but I think Walker's potential on defense, he's a pretty strong shooting guard, but I think he could play the three as well. And we saw, Porter was dealing with some injuries last year. So I think Walker's the pick here. Craig, how about you?
I've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going here. Used the fast pace from Kentucky. So I think it's, in terms of pace of play, it's not going to be an issue. They've been desperate for, a legitimate second string point guard. I think it fits well with John Wall. I think that he can immediately come in and at least make some kind of impact from second team unit from, with the length that he has. I just think the pick makes a lot of sense for them. I find this quite a difficult spot here. I was, toying between, Marcin Gortat replacement or the point guard. But, I'm going to stick with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander being the pick here.
All right, Craig, why don't you stay with us for the Suns picking again here at 16?
So at 16 with the Suns, I have them taking Zaire Smith. Not necessarily because I think it's the guy that they should take, but they do have a tendency to love these, free Catholic type players. And, between Hamidou Diallo and Zaire Smith, they're probably the two best athletes, athletic wings in the draft. Zaire Smith has, a lot to be desired on the offense, but we all know the importance of those, perimeter wing defenders. This is a ultra athletic guy, really good quickness. I think that he'll be able to provide an instant energy in the second unit, and if Phoenix keep this pick, there's room, they're trying to move up again using this pick a bit as bait. I think Zaire Smith's going to be the man.
Yeah, I think Phoenix, I actually live here in Phoenix, and I've seen firsthand that we really need a point guard. And I think if Okobo is there, I think the Suns could take a chance on him if they don't trade this pick. That would be my – I do agree just from what I've been reading and tape I've watched on Okobo. I do think that guy, because – he not only does he have the handle, but he has the outside shot too. So he's not going to be one of those. He's not going to be one of those point guards that can't shoot that seem to be coming out lately. So I like that pick there. How about you, Brett?
Well, we had Ayton taken with the first pick, so they're going to start surrounding him with wings and guards. So I've got Lonnie Walker going there for basically all the reasons that you both have already explained with him. He's a good fit there, and they're going to need as much shooting and wing play as possible.
Brett, you want to stay with us and do the Bucks? Your thoughts on 17?
Yeah, I've got Zaire Smith going here. Milwaukee has a good track record with drafting the most freak athlete available in the draft and having it turn out well for them with Antetokounmpo and Don Mocker look pretty decent. John Henson looking all right. And just putting all these guys that can outrun everybody on the court at the same time seems to be their MO. And the more talent they have around Giannis, the better.
Yeah, I had the same thought as you, but that's why I was thinking maybe Troy Brown would be a good pick here from Oregon. So I think it's the only thing, he leaves wanting is maybe his 3-point shot. But, if the NBA coaches can work with him, I don't think it's particularly broken or anything. But he does have a lot of versatility, and Milwaukee seems to really love versatile players. How about you, Craig?
I've got Milwaukee swinging for the fences and got Mitchell Robinson going here. They were really interested in DeAndre Jordan. Wrong DeAndre. They're really interested in Jordan, weren't they, when the trade deadline was approaching. They've been looking for that, prototypical center, if you like, the rim protector, for quite some time now. And there's probably no better shot blocker in the draft than Mitchell Robinson from what we saw before he'd decided to pretty much not play basketball this season. Robinson for me is, as close to DeAndre Jordan that you're going to get in this draft. Guy that's going to protect the rim, get boards for fun, and thrive. He's not going to have a ton of offense, but he's going to thrive on easy baskets and lobs. So I think that the pick in terms of what Milwaukee are looking for, this would satisfy their needs.
Yeah, I think Mitchell Robinson is one of those guys. If he had gone, I was curious, Craig, since you brought him up, what do you think if he had gone to school for a year, do you think he would have been a potential lottery pick in this draft?
Potentially, yeah. Without a doubt, potentially. It's strange, isn't it? To sort of pull out of college and then pretty much not. He had a contract somewhere in Europe as well. I can't remember. I think in Italy it was. But then that didn't come to fruition. He refused to play in that. It's just odd. And then at the combine, he pulled out the combine as well. Nobody really knows, what's going on or what to expect. So there's got to be question marks about the health, got to be question marks about the character, I guess, as well. But I think, you're at the stage of the draft where if you can get a home run here, some team's going to take an opportunity to try and get one, aren't they? You're talking about pick 17. You're in the rotational piece sort of territory. So I think the pick just makes too much sense to at least not take the chance.
Agreed. How about, let's see, so that was 17 the Bucks, so 18 the Spurs. I think depending what they think about DeJounte Murray and his future as their point guard, I could see Kyrie Thomas from Creighton going here to San Antonio just as, a safe pick, a guy who I think he went 3 years in college. He seems like a Greg Popovich type of player. If Kyrie Thomas is still there, Craig, how about you? What do you think?
I've got Jacob Evans going here. If we're saying Kawhi is as good as gone, which I don't want to say that until it's happened, I think that they're going to be looking for a wing who has that sort of defense first approach. And for me, I think probably the best wing defender left available for me at this point is Jacob Evans out of Cincinnati. He's a junior, so he isn't the youngest guy that's left available, but he's got a very high basketball IQ, which that sort of Popovich is going to be all over faster than a tramp on chips. He plays transition basketball really, really well. He has good wingspan, nearly 7 foot wingspan, 6'6" swing man. It just seems like a very, very San Antonio style pick. So I've got Jacob Evans going here.
Brett, how about you? Who does Pop want at this pick?
Well, the most Spurs player I could find was Dante DiVincenzo. He's a above average shooter, above average athlete, aggressive on defense. he's going to just fit into that system perfectly. He's going to be coached up by Popovich, and he's going to end up being one of the probably more valuable players in the teens.
All right, and Brett, we'll stay with you. We're almost done here. We've got the Hawks at 19.
I had them taking Bagley with the 3 pick. It's likely that they'll probably try to move out of this pick either up or for another player. But if they stay here, I've got them taking Kevin Huerter out of Maryland just to get some more shooting. Defenses are going to want to pack in on Bagley. So if you got a dead-eye shooter out there, that'll only open things up more for them.
Craig, how about you?
I've got Gary Trent Jr. going here. Much like Brett said, a bit of firepower. You know, Gary Trent Jr. is a bit of a microwave at times. You know, when he's hot, he's really hot. And, you know, a guy who's got good jump shot. You know, rumoured to be a very good leader in the clubhouse. Quite physically strong as well for a 6'5" guy. 205 pounds he's listed as well. I just think that Atlanta need the firepower. So with them going Trey Young at 3 and Trent Jr., you know, who could probably play the, you know, the 2, possibly the 3 in small ball sets. I think that just makes a lot of sense in them trying to become a bit of a more well-rounded team. You know, got the pedigree coming out of Duke as well. You know, very highly thought of going into the college season. It was a bit inconsistent at times, and but Gary Trent Jr. is the guy for at 19 that I think that they're going to take.
All right, and yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. I mean, I think the Hawks have what 3 first-round picks this year. You know, so just what I've been looking through, it seems like they might be one to take a shot on someone who might be holdover in Europe for another season. So I was looking at that Zanon Musa from Bosnia.
Zanon.
Sorry, I knew I was gonna butcher that name, but yeah, I mean, he's only 19. He didn't play a ton of minutes, I don't think. I think he was somewhere around like 20 minutes a game. But he's a 6'8" wing player. I mean, with the value that the NBA's putting on wings, the Hawks with the 3 picks do have sort of the luxury of being able to use one of them on someone who might take a little bit longer to come over. So I think this might be the pick to take a chance for them. And then the Timberwolves at 20, that's where I think DiVincenzo will go. You know, the Timberwolves obviously already have a very strong team, so you know, adding a solid player like DiVincenzo would just be seems automatic to me. You know, for a team like that. How about you, Craig?
Yeah, I've got DiVincenzo going here as well. The Timberwolves seem desperate to. I don't know. It just seems like the right pick here. I mean, he isn't the biggest guy at 6'5". He isn't the youngest guy, being a sophomore either. But it's clear that Wiggins and Butler is not a partnership, which seems, you know, they're very highly critical of each other, it seems. And I think that, you know, Wiggins is going to be gone before too long. And I think that sort of DiVincenzo is a guy that can come in, have an immediate role, which I think is important for the Timberwolves. I think they want to, you know, a stepping stone forwards now rather than potentially for the future. And I think that, you know, he's a decent athlete. He's a guy that does a bit of, you know, everything relatively well. You know, not the strongest defender in the world, not the strongest ball handler. But I think for what the Timberwolves need, you know, they want a bit of outside shooting. I think he'll be, you know, a decent addition for them.
How about you, Brett?
Well, Tom Thibodeau loves his undersized point guards with Nate Robinson and DJ Augustin in the past. I've got him taking Aaron Holiday out of UCLA. Just a, you know, a fast playmaker who can actually shoot it. I don't know. I still can't understand why they traded Ricky Rubio and then signed Jeff Teague last year. It just seemed like a bad fit from the get-go. And they need somebody else there that can kind of change the pace and defer to Jimmy Butler and Karl Towns, because Teague seems to want to do his own thing half the time.
So. And Tyus Jones just isn't going to get it done. All right, so that was the top 20. You know, so I think we wanted to wrap up the podcast here with listening to Craig and Brett, who are, you know, really, they go really deep into this stuff. There's going to be articles on Razzball from these guys, so look for those. But Craig and Brett, how about you guys go through three guys that are, you know, maybe outside the top 20 that could potentially should be somebody to watch.
Okay, well, the first guy I've got is Jeannin Musa, which you touched on, I think, going to Atlanta, was it? There is a lot to like about this guy. You know, I've watched him quite a bit in Europe, plays his basketball in Croatia, you know, 6'9" guy. He does have the ability to sort of, you know, switch from the 2 to 4, which he did quite a lot last season. At times when he was on the court, he, you know, did demonstrate quite a lot of, you know, a shooting threat, could pretty much score from all over the court, really, you know, up against different style defenses. But, you know, a very high offensive IQ. And one of the things that impresses me the most when you watch him play is that he's really not frightened to take contact. And, he really gets, you know, under opponent's skin when he's got the ball in his hands. You know, he draws so many fouls. You know, he is really a competitor when he's got the ball in his hands. But there are question marks. He has got, you know, he hasn't got a particularly good motor. You know, he isn't most explosive player in the world, and he does turn over the ball quite a lot, so you know, there are question marks there, but I think that this could be a guy that you know, I'm not saying he's going to be an NBA star, but I think could have a future as a pretty good a player in the NBA from an offensive standpoint.
Where would you like to see him end up?
I haven't really thought about this too much. Personally, I'd like to see him end up in somewhere like Charlotte, one way or another, just to have a guy that can really, you know, shoot the ball, that has a bit of size other than Frank Kaminsky. So Charlotte, I think, would be a good fit for me, but that's not going to happen where they're picking, I don't think. But yeah, a guy that I like, can switch between the 2 to 4. I think he could have a good career in the NBA.
Awesome. Brett, do you have who's a guy you're looking at outside the top 20 that that should be inside it?
Yeah, actually, Craig had him going to Milwaukee, but it's Mitchell Robinson. He's the enigma. He's huge in size and in bust potential. if it all gets put together, if he's in the right system, gets coached up correctly, he could be a star. But he could also be out of the league in a year. So it's a real big gamble by a team, putting some faith in him, giving him a first round contract, but you know, the potential payoff is just massive. So I think he'll definitely be within the 20s somewhere.
The next guy I've got on my list is Amari Spellman, out of Villanova. You know, national title to his name. Good physical guy, although, you know, he is only 6'9", but he is 255 pounds. The one thing that really impresses when you watch him play is he has, you know, really good range that I think could be, you know, instantly used in the NBA. You know, I think it was 43%, I think, he shot from beyond the arc last year. So it'd be interesting to see if that can translate to the NBA 3-point line. You know, he has good shot blocking instincts, you know, very good on the offensive end when it comes to rebounding. You know, there are some flaws. You know, he is 21 years old. He's got, you know, he isn't a very good free throw shooter. But I think that, you know, the potential to have the pick and pop game that he has, if he could end up in somewhere like Chicago as kind of like a, you know, a complement to a Lowry Markkanen, you know, I think that this is a guy that could do well.
Sounds a little Draymond Greenish in your description there, with the size and the outside, with the range.
Yeah, it's not the worst comparison in the world, I suppose.
I'll take that.
He has really good footwork. Draymond Green is just an enigma in himself, though, isn't he?
Absolutely. Brett, how about you? Who's your number two guy?
I got Chandler Hutchison is my next guy. He's rumored to be promised to the Bulls at 22, which meant I started looking at everything I could find on the internet about him. And he's actually a pretty intriguing guy. He's a big wing player. He's offensive-minded, but potentially could be you know, a 3-and-D type of player. I currently have him going to the Jazz right outside the top 20, and I think he'd be able to join that rotation right away, get coached up, and you know, be a solid contributor.
He was a four-year guy, right?
Yeah, he's a little older, but you know, at that part of the draft, that doesn't really matter as much.
Okay, is there another Boise State guy in the NBA at the moment, or would he be the only one?
Can't answer that.
I know. I was going through it in my head while you were talking about him there. Craig, how about you? Who's your third guy?
Okay, my third and final guy is Isaac Bonga, sticking with the European theme here. German born, plays his basketball for Frankfurt, small forwards, but again, he's played a lot of basketball as more of a kind of point forward, if you like. 6'9", about 200 pounds, really skinny though. You know, if there's one criticism you're going to have about the guy is that, you know, he really, really does need to bulk up. But the skills are all there. You know, he's a good athlete, he's got good length, he finishes with both hands. Like I said, you know, he plays point forward, so, you know, he's got the ability to pass the ball. You know, he's played a lot as the primary ball handler. For Frankfurt when he's been on the court. He's got good court vision, good IQ, excellent defender as well. It's just the real question mark is being, you know, can he add the necessary muscle that he's going to need to be able to succeed at that level? But this is an intriguing guy. You know, this, you're talking about a guy that could be the next Draymond Green. You know, this is a guy that, you know, might be a bit under the radar, that you know, that the guy that the Warriors are searching for to find the next Draymond Green.
Huh. And Brett, how about you?
Well, this guy's probably going to end up being a second rounder just because of all the injury concerns. But Jared Vanderbilt out of Kentucky, if he can prove that he's healthy and stay healthy, number one rebound rate in college, I believe, in the small sample size that he had, he's got a good handle. He's a good passer, good court vision, seems to have some good basketball IQ. So if he ends up being healthy and someone takes him in the second round, there's going to be 30 or 29 teams that regretted taking him or passing him up in the first round.
It's a real shame with Vanderbilt with the health, wasn't it? I mean, he entered the year as, you know, really considered a really highly, you know, thought of prospect, you know, potential lottery pick. And, you know, sometimes the health just doesn't go your way with that, does it? And, you know, Harry Giles-esque, you know, you struggle to sort of get back to the kind of promise that you thought you were, you know, people thought you were going to deliver.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I've tried to watch a lot of Kentucky basketball too, and not seeing him all year was painful.
Mm-hmm. And it was exactly what they needed as well, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, if they had
if they had a healthy Vanderbilt, it could have sort of been a very different story, but yeah.
Well, I think since I have you guys here, I have one final question, I think, before we wrap up our pre-draft podcast. Is Grayson Allen a first-round pick?
I would have said no before the combine, and then I saw how his athletic testing came out, and now I start to second-question myself. Boston apparently seemed to be enamored with him, so look out at pick 27 for Boston and Grayson Allen. I've actually, this was a conversation that me and Steve Connell had, again, was he asked me, is Grayson Allen a first round pick, yes or no? And he was like, well, you know, it's right on the cusp for me, but there's a lot of indications pointing towards yes, and the team could be Boston.
How about I was thinking if the Sixers were to lose Redick, I haven't heard what they're going to do in that. Is Allen a possible replacement? They're at 26, right, before the Celtics?
It's possible. I don't see why not. But I think that Redick's going to return for another year, isn't he? Redick wants to be there. I think the Sixers want him there as well, don't they?
He played well. How about you, Brett? Your thoughts on him? I'm just curious because he's such a controversial college player now coming in the NBA. And one
he's
of those,
a dirty bastard, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm going to say no. No one's going to want to risk a first-round pick on him, get some fan backlash, because I know there's some Grayson Allen fans out there, but most people that I know for sure are definitely not. But on the flip side, I could see like Golden State taking him at 28. Most other teams already hate them, so they don't care. And he'll probably be a useful rotation player for them. So I'm going to lean towards no, though. He's going to fall into the second round.
All right. Well, anything else you guys want to cover, before we wrap this up? Anything else we should be watching out for on draft night?
I think this year in particular, I think that, we see the expert consensus drafts and, we see a lot of similarities, but I really do think there could be more surprises than what people think this year. With teams struggling to get players in for workouts, there's a guy that could go at 2 could also go at 9. It's just one of those drafts, isn't it? That you got different teams with different agendas, and consensus mock drafts. They are just that; they're mock drafts. So don't be surprised if there's a few. A few surprises on draft night.
Brett, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if history is any indication, watching the NBA draft, is some team in the top 10 is going to do something that is just wildly against what everybody is predicting, and it's going to throw off the whole draft, and it's probably going to be a dumb decision. Just love watching all the suits that come out, and I've been trying to figure out who I think is going to have the most outrageous suit at the draft. And I don't know. I don't have any favorite right now.
Are we going to see a lot of suit shorts at the draft this year? LeBron style.
Probably.
I'm afraid so.
So we're looking out for the suits.
I think you still got to go with the short socks, though. I don't think you go with the long dress socks if you go with the short suit pants, but that's just my thoughts. So hey, do you guys want to let everyone know how to find you on Twitter, because I'm sure you'll be tweeting on draft night? Craig, it's storytelling 41, is that correct?
Yeah, correct. Storytelling 41 for me. Just the usual, primarily about basketball, but you get the odd baseball prospect snippet in there.
And Brett, are you on Twitter?
I am not on Twitter. I'm not a writer. I'm just a fan and a friend of Craig's.
All right. Well, find Craig's articles on Razzball.com. Brett's thoughts on there as well. These guys really do their research. They really know their stuff. And thank you guys so much for the time. I'm sure everyone's really going to enjoy listening to this before the draft.
Not a problem, Brett. Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brent.
No problem. And once again, I'm Brent at the Fantasy Dick on Twitter. And you can find my articles on Razzball.com when basketball season gets rolling. And I'm going to try to put a few articles out there this off season as well. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a good night.